Hey, man, you know what it is, man. Throwing up that you one time. We got a special guest coming on the other side of this. Very special guest. A radio legend in my book, man. I grew up listening to this, man. You know what I mean? That voice, now you're putting your face to it. It's amazing. Hey, man, before we get into it, because we're going to jump right into it with the guest. Cheers, my brother. This is how we cheers here. We clink it up with some water here, man.
Kink, kink.
Water, clink, water, man. My wonderful Caneswear. You know, my wonderful Caneswear.
Shout out to my mother-in-law, man. Found this at a yard sale, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it was at Caneswear at one point. All right, guys, let's get into this intro.
Welcome to the You Heard Podcast.
I'm hurt, dog.
Ben and Joe break down all things Miami Hurricanes football.
Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no.
From hot topics to pre- and post-game analysis.
Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it.
You heard.
I'm putting my heart in this, dog.
Hey, guys, ooh, you see him at the bottom of the screen, man. Alex Donald from Locked On Canes, 560 radio legend. I remember him listening to him Friday nights with Larry Bluestein, just telling me everything I needed to know about high school football recruiting. I was like, how do these guys know everything? Let's give it up for Alex Donald, guys.
Thank you for having me, first of all. Ben and Joe, you guys do a great job. And I got to tell you, man, you mentioned Larry Bluestein. I learned so much from Blue over the years. And then, like, recently, before I started doing Locked On Canes, I'm like, man, I got to actually start listening to everything Blue says, because now I'm going to be talking about Canes daily and talking a lot of recruiting. So hopefully I learned enough from Blue over the years, because he's been a friend of mine for, oh man, it's been about probably 9-10 years since Blue and I had been really close. And he is the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, it's when Blue talks, I just kind of like sit there like a little kid when you're like in kindergarten and you're just like, yo, just tell me everything. Like, he could go for 10 hours and it's a new story every 15 seconds.
You know what's crazy is, like, every now and then, like, I'll do, like, when I'm having Blue on a show, even these days, like, I always want to be careful that I'm not, like, throwing a name at him that maybe he hasn't watched play or something. I haven't stumped the guy yet. So, like, because I know he watches everybody in the state of Florida when it comes to high school players. And then, you know, just the other day I had Blue on and I'm like, you know, I was looking at like a name of a kid from, I don't know, some other state. And I'm like, Blue, I don't know, do you know anything about this guy? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I've watched him play. And I knew his uncle and all. It's like, he knows everything about everybody.
Man, yes, he came up to NC. He did a review of my son in 2019, you know. So I tell my son, man, hey, you have to make Blue not out to be a liar, man. Keep going and man, you know what I mean? Get busy. So Blue's, you know, we know Blue's word is gold, man. So
yeah, man. He's incredible, man. All right, Donald. Let's get you, you know what I'm saying, from Locked On Canes, 560 radio legend. You do a podcast every single day. Here's my first question, right? How? Just overall, how? Because we know what it takes to do two podcasts a week. Is a lot of work with the editing and the you know what I'm saying, and the graphics and all these things that you have to do, and then put out the content. How do you do it, man?
Well, the content is the big thing that I do, because I got to throw a shout out to the people at the Locked On Network. I mean, I throw everything up there, like, for the shows, but they make the templates. You know, they made my life as easy as possible. They set up my YouTube channel when we started that about a year ago. So they make my life a little bit easier. As far as the content, if you dive head first into that world, there's always a way to get content out of something. And it's like, I'm a member of, like, all the message board sites. So I definitely throw a shout out to my friends at the 24/7 sites. Like, I know Gabby Yerudia very well. He's a great dude. Gary Furman at Cane Sport. You know, I've got colleagues who write with me at allhurricanes.com, which is a site that I write for. And so, like, I don't know, the first thing I do, guys, when I wake up in the morning, I ask some of my colleagues who I know personally, like, anything going on, you hearing anything about anything? You know, I check all the sites. I probably for the half hour show that I do every day, several hours of just reading go into that, because you want to always have your ear to the streets to hear what people are talking about. And, you know, listen, I So, some of the info is stuff that I gather. Some of the info is info I get from other people. And I have no problem admitting that, because if I was relying like on my own information, right, no way I could do a show every day. That's like once a week material at the most. So there's a lot of great people in the Canes space that keep me informed, and, you know, and you guys do a great job. And I want to throw a shout out to Coach Coop, because I know Coop has been going through something in his personal life. He's taken some time off. So I haven't heard from him, giving him his space. I'm praying for you, Coop, and your family. I hope everything gets back in order in your life, man, because I think the Canes space misses him a lot.
Yes,
sir. 100%. Definitely. He was before Joe, he was an inspiration to us to start this. Mm-hmm. You know, how Coop did it, man. Like, Coop, I love how Coop doesn't care. He's going to create the content he creates, right? Like, and it's incredible. It's inspiring. And the work he puts into it, because that's a ton of work too, man. So, yeah, shout out to Coop, man. Our prayers are with you.
And I've seen, like, he did a little, like, behind the scenes with his setup. And, like, that's, like, life goals, man. This guy's got, like, it's like the Matrix. He's got, like, a wall full of computer screens, and he's got all the nice cameras. I'm like, if you guys have seen my operation, I mean, I got a laptop and a webcam and a microphone, and there are a couple of lights. You know, maybe it's high tech compared to what some people do, but compared to Coach Coop, that guy's got like a bat cave.
Right. How is media different now, you know, with this regime than before? You know, is it harder? Is it, you know, easier? How is media life with now in 2023?
I think that there's always this understanding that Mario Cristobal doesn't really use the media, which is so like there's no right or wrong way to do it. But I think some of the other coaches that have been around are, you know, a little bit maybe more eager to kind of want their stuff out there and more active on social media, whereas like, I think Mario takes pride in keeping everything very quiet. With that said, I don't want to make it sound like he's not good with the media, because he's fantastic. I mean, I went to most of his press conferences this past year, and he's so accommodating with questions. Like, anytime I got an opportunity to ask a question, he would always give a great answer, and he looks you right in the eyes when he's answering you, which is like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I can see why he's such a good recruiter, because he connects with anybody. So, but as far as like getting information, you know, I can use this offensive coordinator search as an example. It's been very quiet. And you know, I think the most info I've been able to get from anybody is like who probably aren't candidates for it. But as far as like who are candidates for it, I don't know. They're interviewing people, I guess, but they're sneaking people in the building because nobody seems to know what's going on. That's just how they operate.
Yeah. I saw earlier, my bad, man. I saw earlier that you said we need to scratch Scott Frost off the list.
It's my understanding. Someone that's given me really good info about coaching moves at Miami, going back to the Mark Richt days. You know, he told me this morning that he was told Frost probably isn't coming. So. But I don't know if that is a decision from Frost side or from Miami side or what's going on there. Like, I don't know who's – obviously somebody isn't, you know, wanting to make this happen. I don't know if that's coming from his side or from Miami side. But, you know, it was an interesting thing to hear, because up until this morning, Scott Frost was probably the name that I heard the most. You know, it's been like – I feel like – covering this offensive coordinator search, it's like you're doing it blindfolded, because what I said before, like I don't really know who the hot names are, but you know, Frost is a name I've been asking about a lot, and as of this morning the feedback there wasn't so good, so that maybe by process of elimination that gives us a better chance of figuring out who it's going to be.
That makes me sad.
I like him.
That was Joe's number one. Yeah, my number one, what we talked about before, is my number one is just a guy. I don't want a guy who hadn't done it in a while. You know, like, I want an established OC, whoever that is, just a no-nonsense guy. Like, I'm tired of the sexy hire. You know what I mean? I just want the guy that comes in here and grinds. Like, I don't need to like you. You know, like, I need to like your offense. I don't need to like you. You know, I don't need to be like, I need to get a Gaddis t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be on a bandwagon of an OC. That's just never been my – I'm tired of that. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've done that so many times, and especially with this last one, a Broyles Award winner. I was just, I'm kind of sick of it. It hurt too much. Last season hurt too much. So, in line with what Joe's asking, how he deals with the media is, when he looks you in the eye, do you feel like you're a recruit and you're like an 18-year-old kid again? You're like, Mario, yes, I agree with whatever you're saying because you said it so intensely. I can't argue with you.
You know, I kind of feel intimidated and charmed all at the same time. Like, it's a weird thing because like, if you're in like an auditorium full of reporters, and I always try to sit in the front because I film the pressers, and I don't have like a super zoom lens, so I always sit in the front row. There's like five or six of us who always sit in the front row. So it's weird. Like, you're in a room full of reporters, you ask a question, and then he's just looking at you. Like, he gives you like a 4 or 5 minute answer. He's looking at you the entire time. So it's like, I feel like charmed by it, but I'm also like a little intimidated because, like, there's a room full of people. He's looking right at me. It's like, I don't know. It's an interesting feeling.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
I imagine when he's looking at you, you don't want to break eye contact because it's like,
no, you don't. Like, and it's like, I'm a little bit, you know, believe it or not, I'm a little bit awkward. Like, I fully admit that. So it's like, somebody's looking at me in the eye and I'm like, I don't know, like, should I, and also like, should I be typing notes with what he's saying? Should I break the eye contact? So
That's funny, man.
That's hilarious.
I imagine it that way too. Like, all right, Mario, look somewhere else. This is getting awkward. I got to blink at some point. This has got to change.
Yeah, it's like, Joe, the coolest staring contest ever.
Yeah, exactly.
The schedule. I want to discuss the schedule, man. What do you think about it? I felt like we got shafted. So, like, the way the schedule, the way we end the season, the bye week is in a weird place. I just feel like, you know, we got short end of some stick. How do you feel about the schedule?
I think this is the type of schedule where it's setting Miami up to be 4-1 or 5-0, and then get like a lot of like hype where they maybe get ranked and then just rug pulled because the first 5 weeks, and there's some weird days on this, right? Because you open the season on a Friday and then 2 weeks later you play on a Thursday. I don't know. Did they move us to the MAC and didn't tell us about it? Like all these weeknight games. Yeah. But no, I think you make a good point about the bye week as well, that I hadn't even thought about that. Is that that's between the Temple and the Georgia Tech games, I'm guessing, is the bye week. So, yeah, but it's a weird one because, like, and, you know, I hate doing win-loss predictions, but I think they're going to start the season well because you should beat Miami, Ohio. Maybe you'll beat Texas A&M at home. They've got a lot of roster turnover. You better beat Bethune-Cookman. You better beat Temple. You better beat Georgia Tech again. So you might be 5-0, and then reality sets in because then you're at North Carolina, home against Clemson. It doesn't even matter if you play them home or away. It's going to be tough. You know, Virginia should probably be a win again this year. At NC State, it's going to be a tough game. At Florida State, it's going to be a really tough game. Home against Louisville is not going to be that easy, and at Boston College should be easy. But yeah, it's tough. It's going to be like from October on. It's a wake up call.
Yeah, Boston in November. Like, really?
Yeah. Really. Even when Miami was really good and Boston College wasn't so good, like, I'll never forget that 2001 game in November at Boston College, where, you know, I was the greatest Miami team ever, and they were, you know, almost lost that game.
Yeah,
20-9 without that Ed Reed, like, strip from his own guy, because it was 13-9 and Boston was driving. I'll never forget that play.
Sweating. Like, when that drive was happening, before it was the Matt Walters pick and then Ed Reed ran it in, before that, I was like, I was sweating profusely. It's like, this is the national championship. It's going down the toilet right now.
Oh, that was
hard to keep a team motivated, you know? Yeah. It's hard to keep a team motivated going up to Boston in November. It'll be 10 degrees, maybe, you know, snowing. It's crazy.
And it'll probably be a night game, right? Like, if we're keeping it 100, right. Like, it'll probably be a night game where it's a little bit colder, you know what I'm saying? And it's a Friday night. I hate Friday night games. That game is on Friday night too? Yeah, that game's on Friday.
He's right. It is on Friday. That's crazy.
I just did the graphic for this podcast, It's 100% on Friday. We are in the MAC. We're being like, we have a, two Fridays and a Thursday. Oh, mercy. We have two Fridays and a Thursday. By the way, that Louisville game is going to be really tough because they have a bunch of South Florida kids on that roster, and they always show up.
And like, they'll be in South Florida. They'll be in Florida. So this,
I don't like to do win loss. We haven't gone into the win loss, but it's a tough, it's an ugly schedule.
I'm refusing to do the win loss until we have an offensive coordinator and at least until we get through some fall practices. Yeah, like, I'm not going to do it till August.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good idea because we don't know. We don't know what the offense is going to look like. We don't know what this roster is going to look like because a new transfer portal opens up after the spring.
Yep.
And it's just, I think, you know what? I just figured out why our spring game is on a Friday, because we're getting ready for Friday games in the fall. What other reason is there for a Friday spring game? If my employers watch this, I'm going to be sick that day. Like that Friday, I can't miss that spring game. I have to go to that spring game. It's a Friday.
Maybe park availability. You know, maybe on Saturday the park wasn't available. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. They might be. I think that's during the MLS season. They might be playing a game that Saturday. I don't know. It's a good question.
That is. You know, they should do some rivalry stuff and do it at Camping World Stadium, and just take their flag for Central Florida. You know, because like we always stay so far south. Like show some representation and be here and have the Central Florida kids come out. And expand the state of Miami a little bit.
If they do hire Scott Frost, then have the game in Central Florida so he can visit his old pals up there.
Exactly. For that national championship, that wasn't. Sorry. You're not on the list anymore, Scott Frost.
We don't know that.
We don't know that 100% for sure.
Leave my future OC alone.
And if he is, I completely and wholeheartedly apologize and hope you have an amazing offense this season.
Well, I'm going to order a ring. If they hire him, I'm ordering the 2017 National Championship.
Let's go. Let's go.
I will get the T-shirt for the next show. You know what? They sell it here somewhere. I live in Central Florida, so I know they do. Oh, awesome. All right. So speaking of the Scott Frost stuff, what are you hearing what names are you hearing that we haven't heard before? Like, I know 247 came out with a huge 15-name list, which we broke down on the last show. Shout out to them guys, David Lake and Gabby and Chris Stark. All those guys do great work. What names are you hearing that you're kind of surprised? And in your Alex Donald dream world, what is the kind of offense you would like to see being run at Miami?
Let me handle the first one. I think I saw that exact 24/7 article you talked about. One name I can't. It's been a while since I looked at that one. I can't remember if the name Jeff Scott was on their list or not. And I bring him up because I had a conversation with Larry Bluestein, who we talked about. I had a conversation with him yesterday. I don't know if he's like actually being interviewed or anything like that. But I can tell you, like, Larry Bluestein really likes him. And he made a good case for Jeff Scott, who, you know, he was briefly for, I think, parts of three seasons was a head coach at USF. It was an awful situation. And it was, you know, his first year was the COVID year. So it was just an awful situation to walk into. But, you know, Jeff Scott has spent a long time. He was at Clemson as an offensive assistant before he got the USF head coaching job. He's actually back at Clemson as an analyst and a recruiting aide right now. You know, he's someone who I think his philosophy probably aligns with what Mario Cristobal wants to do offensively. And when Larry Bluestein tells me somebody's a really good recruiter, I take that as gospel that he's a really good recruiter. So I wonder if that's a name who could fit. Some of the other names, like I use a lot of the same names over and over again, guys, because there are certain names that just make a lot of sense. I do believe that Mario Cristobal's fingerprints are going to be on this hire. I don't expect him to hire like an air raid guy. Like I think he's going to hire somebody who probably runs a power spread type of offense, you know, a similar philosophy to what Josh Gattis had, just hopefully, you know, a lot better at what he does than Josh Gattis was. So, you know, I think about somebody like Marcus Arroyo, who was offensive coordinator under Cristobal at Oregon 2018, 2019. It just makes so much sense. Again, I don't know if he's interviewed or anything like that, but it makes so much sense because he's out of a job right now. He was the UNLV head coach. They fired him kind of surprisingly. And when he was working under Mario in two seasons together, they won two Pac-12 titles and a Rose Bowl. So from what I understand, they have a good relationship. So I would be surprised if he's not in the mix. Like, I would be shocked by that. And I bring up the name James Coley a lot because he's someone who I think he's had kind of mixed results as a play caller. I'm not going to say that he's like the most dynamic play caller out there, but he's a proven recruiter. He's got a philosophy that matches up with Mario's. He worked under Mario many years ago at FIU, and Coley has obviously South Florida roots, and he did coach at Miami previously. About a decade ago, he had a couple years as offensive coordinator down here. So I wonder if he's someone who could be in the mix. And then there are some other names that, I don't know, could be tougher sells because they're working other places, like Tommy Rees at Notre Dame. He's the offensive coordinator there. It seems like Mario likes him, but he reportedly turned the job down last year, and Notre Dame's his alma mater. He seems to be doing fine there, so I don't know why he would take the job, but his name gets thrown out there sometimes. Jason Candle, I don't think he's going to take the job. He's the head coach at Toledo. He turned the job down last year. I love Candle's offense just because it's like perfectly balanced. It's like 50-50 run pass, and it's obviously Toledo, not Miami, but what he's doing there works. But I don't think he's going to take the job. And you know, there are some less realistic names that get thrown around. Yeah, I know. Like somebody had this report last week, and I wanted it to be true so badly. I don't know if it was true that Dan Mullen was in Coral Gables. That he might have been interviewing. It's like he doesn't like to recruit, but he's a proven offensive guy. And listen, I know he didn't have the greatest time as a head coach at Florida, but as an offensive coordinator, the guy's been dynamite wherever he's been, and he's an innovator and he's great with quarterbacks. So if there was any truth to it, I would love it. I know he would cost a lot of money. I don't know if money is an issue in this. Miami's shown us over the last year they're willing to spend if they think they're hiring the right people. But I don't know if it's realistic. I haven't seen any like reliable confirmation that he was actually in Coral Gables. And if he was he just passing through like on his way to the Keys or something? I don't know what was going on there, but that I would love that to be true. Cause I think if that was even somewhat realistic, I think he would be a great hire.
Woo.
Excellent. That's a lot.
I know a lot of people, some people, they think Dan Mullen is a great OC, but they just don't want to see him in orange and green, I think he would be a good fit. He doesn't like to recruit, but we have recruiters on staff. Have recruiters on staff. One more question about the OC. Are you hearing any names from like the NFL at all?
Nothing realistic off the top of my head. I've seen some people bring up like, and maybe not as an OC, but like a wide receivers coach, like Leonard Hankerson. He seems to be doing well where he's at. I don't have any reason to believe he's interested in leaving the NFL for college. Ken Dorsey gets brought up a lot. I don't think he's doing that. I mean, he loves Miami, but he wants to be an NFL head coach. Joe Brady, who works under Dorsey at Buffalo, that one gets brought up a lot. He seems like he moves around a lot, but it also seems like has he been back in college since he left LSU? I don't think so. I think he's been in the NFL the whole time. So, and another thing, like, I don't know if this is the case with Brady or not, but I noticed like a lot of coaches who have like left college to go to the NFL, I think they realize I don't have to do nearly as much work because I'm not on the recruiting trail. It's like, NFL coaches work very hard. Don't get me wrong. Like, you hear these stories about 18-hour days, but college coaching, that's like a 22-hour day with the amount of recruiting, dude. So Brady might be perfectly happy being in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was his big thing. Was it last year when he was rumored to be up for this job, was that recruiting was not a thing that he wanted to do. And he's already a young guy and doesn't want to put those recruiting hours in. Probably not going to work very well with the Mario staff. But Gattis didn't recruit very well either. So you never know until they get in the building. But Dorsey's on, probably going to get a head coaching position. this year or next year. Why come down here? Yeah, Dorsey's just a dream. Oh, that's everybody's dream.
Pipe dream. Not gonna happen though. Yep.
Yeah. Don't get hyped. So as somebody who hosted radio shows, do you realize it's gotten worse or better with social media, with like the outrage when the fan base doesn't like? So let's say like I have this guy in mind, right? And this is my question to everybody going forward for the rest of the history of this podcast. You notice when like a guy, like let's say I want Scott Frost and they don't get Scott Frost, they immediately like crap on whatever the OC is going to be without ever seeing it. Is that strange to you? Like when people like get mad that like Mario didn't pick the guy they thought that should have been hired, they get mad as if Mario has some opinion on what we say on a podcast.
Yeah, it gets a little toxic. I mean, usually I like sit back and like I enjoy other people's angry tweets. But then the funny thing is, like, if you start to get dragged into it, like if I say something like on a show that somebody doesn't like and they tweet about it, I'm like, okay, this was fun right until they threw me into the crosshairs. Now it's like, this isn't so much fun anymore. No. But so I don't know. I do enjoy the social media interactions. From what I can tell, Mario Cristobal sees none of it and he doesn't care about any of it. Right. Like I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there who like check Twitter or they've got assistants who tell them what people are talking about. Like I feel like Manny Diaz cared what people said on Twitter. I don't think Mario cares. I mean, I know he has a Twitter because like he'll send out, I don't know if it's him or somebody who like works with him who sends out like tweets when they're getting a recruit. Like I know he has a Twitter, but I don't think he's checking his mentions. Like I don't think that that's something that ever crosses his mind. And in his position, that's probably the right way to go, because everybody out there feels like they can do his job better than he can. I mean, maybe not everybody feels that way, but a lot of these Twitter maniacs, they feel like they can do his job better than he can. And they're going to question, you know, the philosophies and the play calling and who he hires. And it's like, if he were to check any of that, he would go insane. Like if he tries to let the fan base do his job for him, it's not going to work. So he's probably better off that way.
Yeah. Definitely.
Joe, what you got?
Definitely.
I had to ask that, man. I had to ask that. You know me.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get back into recruiting and the transfer portal and things. So, you know, after spring, we have another transfer portal window. Do you see anyone hopping into the portal after spring? Anybody you think that may be, you know, waiting for spring to see where they stand to hop in the portal?
I think it's inevitable. I don't know who it would be. Had he not hopped into the portal, like two of these guys, had they not hopped into the portal on the last day, I would have said, keep your eyes on Jake Garcia and keep your eyes on Ja'Kai Clark. And they both hopped into the portal the last day in January. So as far as May, I don't know, but I think it's inevitable. And, it could be somebody far down on the depth chart at a place like offensive line, which is getting a lot deeper. Miami's not that deep in a whole lot of area. I mean, they're getting deeper, but I don't know. Maybe one of the running backs. I hope that's not the case. I just think it's inevitable that somebody's going to kind of figure out, because once you start to see spring play out and these guys are going to figure out like who's getting the first team, second team reps at practice. I think some of these guys may see the writing on the wall. I'd hate to speculate on who, because I really don't know, but I think it's inevitable and you're going to lose some guys. And I think they're going to bring some guys in the portal. I think it's going to be an opportunity, hopefully in May, to get an outside wide receiver, because I don't think Gary Bryant from USC has decided yet where he's going. I think he's keeping that open for a while longer. So if you could get somebody like that, I think it would be a welcomed addition.
Yeah, I think and I think just looking at position groups, linebacker, we've added some depth along the linebacker in the linebacker room. O-line, definitely. Definitely. So yeah. I hear what you're saying. Definitely.
So, well, I know you got to run, Donald. Appreciate the time. Just got one last question for you. What is the one position that is – so it's a two-part question. What do you think this season, obviously OC pending and all these things, just with the bodies we've brought in, what is the position you think we're the strongest in, and what is one that we still need a lot of work or some work on?
Yeah, I'll start with a lot of work. I think it's receiver. I think there's potential there, but most of the guys that Miami has have not proven it on a consistent basis. Because like I could just look at the roster and say, I really like Colby Young, but I haven't seen him put together more than like 2.5 consecutive good games, right? Mm-hmm. I really like Jacoby George. I haven't seen him put together like a consecutive string of games. And I think the two of them could be the starting outside wide receivers. I feel a lot better about the slot, right? Cause Xavier Restrepo, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's a stud. Breshard Smith, I think, is really good. He's another guy who hasn't been that consistent, but I think he's really good. And Robbie Washington and Ray Joseph, who are coming in as freshmen, I think that they can probably contribute their first year, especially Ray. I think Ray could be a real weapon this year, but receiver's definitely one that I think could use some improving. As far as positions that I feel a lot better about, definitely, I think linebacker is in there because, you know, Wes Bissaint is only going to get better, and he was looking really good at the end of last year. Francisco Maui-Goa, people aren't paying attention to this guy. You know, I, as much as I can, I've studied what he did at Washington State, and he had a really good season last year. And they're not happy to lose him over there in Wazoo. So I think their loss is going to be Miami's gain. And, you know, I think that the freshman Miami you're bringing in can play. So that's an area that I look at. Running back as well. I mean, listen, the running back room looked pretty good last year, so I'll proceed with caution, but everybody got hurt last year, and Thad Franklin had whatever issues with the coaches. So he was basically a non-factor. But, you know, this year, Henry Parrish was the most consistent guy last year. He's back. Don Chaney can stay healthy. He can do a lot of good things. Trevante Citizen's got to get healthy. Yeah. And I think Mark Fletcher is going to be a beast. I think within the first 2 years here, he's going to be a top two running back. And Chris Johnson is a weapon all over the field. Yeah. So I feel a lot better about running back. And, you know, I don't have to go over the whole O-line again because I feel good about the O-line as well. I think they've not only the freshmen that they're bringing in, but Matt Lee in the transfer portal and Javion Cohen. Like, those guys should be starters first year. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I think they're going to be in much better shape there.
Awesome. That's Joe, you got something else before we let Donald go?
Man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, guys. Yeah. I appreciate the good work. And Ben, stop making me feel old, man, because you talk about growing up listening to – how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
38.
Oh, I'm the same age? What do you mean you grew up listening to me? I'm 38.
Hey, man, look, in my mind, everybody's a little bit older. Like, I don't ever feel my age. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – I grew up, I remember my drives home in Miami. I would listen to you. Mind you, you don't exactly have we might have been the same age at the time. You don't have a voice of, it's not like I knew your age at that time.
Fair enough.
I was like, this guy's got a 50-year-old man voice.
I thought you were going to say you were like 28.
You're making it sound like you were 5 and you were just listening to Alex Dana.
You know? Dude, that is too funny.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Hey, Donald, whenever you want to come on and talk, man, just hit me up. You're always welcome, man. You're part of the U-Herd family now, man. Thank you so much, Donald.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys. Joe and Ben, have a great rest of your night.
Yes, have a great day.
All right, man. Have a good one.
See you, fellas. Have a good one.
Hey.
Oh, man. Hey. Donald. Me and Donald the same age. Completely shocked me. Me and Donald the same age. Fam, I remember listening to him. I remember listening to him back in the day. I was like, this guy's got to be like 50. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Messed around and we the same age.
You saying back in the day, like, he was, you know what I mean? Like, he was.
I know, man. Now I feel bad.
For the 80s, in the 80s or something, in the 90s.
Yeah, man. I was saying, you're saying, man, we might mess around and have the same birthday, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, man. That was an awesome moment, man. That was a good conversation.
Oh, yeah. We got to get Blue on here. We got to get Blue. We got to work on Blue now. Yeah,
Blue's next. All right, man. You know what I'm saying? We just wanted to touch on lightly on the schedule, but let's get into this, man. This schedule's terrible, bro. Like, the more I was making the graphics and like seeing the dates, I was like, till Donald said, I was like, holy shit, this is the Mac. Like, we have 2 Friday games and a Thursday. That's and then wild. It's not like after that Texas A&M game, we play Bethune-Cookman on Thursday. Why are we playing Bethune-Cookman on a Thursday?
That's like, wild. What? Like, and that's Thursday. Like, that's the college football game, the only game on TV, most likely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's – which, don't get me wrong. I don't mind a Thursday game, but a Thursday game after a bye. You know what I mean? Like, so you have, like, the little bit extra time. Like, I like those Thursday games, especially when we're the main event, if we're good. But it's, like, a main event against Bethune-Cookman with all the issues that they're having. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all see the news.
That's what maybe we deserve it. You know, we deserve the schedule. Why should we get a good schedule? You know what I mean? Facts. They put us on prime time a couple of times last year, and we got embarrassed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we shit the bed.
So why should they trust us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we like there is that part where like, hey, you know who we are. Like you see these logos up here.
You know the logo.
You see the U, but we're like, hey, but we were 5-7, right? Yeah. Like, but we
a
were
bad
like
5-7 too.
How bad? Like we were like the 110th ranked office or whatever it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we there is that part where like we are what our schedule says we were. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Dennis Green. Yeah, you know what I mean,
like and we you are know we draw a big crowd. You know, we draw viewership.
Yeah,
everybody tunes in for you for whatever, you know, to see us lose, whatever. But these network, you know, they have to look at it like, yo, man, we making these cats prime time a lot, and they not prime time yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
yeah, man, yeah, that's tough.
We got to lose a schedule, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have a schedule. Yeah, we have a bad schedule after a bad season.
Yeah,
like we have to respond to that somehow. Yeah. I don't say we ain't got to do shit. We just got to talk about it. We don't got to put the helmet. You know what I'm saying? We old out here. I ain't putting on no helmet.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like I'm not getting out on that field, but it's too fright. Like the positive, if you want to look at it, right? Like you have an extra day to prepare for Texas A&M, right? If you have that Friday Miami Ohio game, that means your day off is Saturday, back to work on Sunday and get ready. So you have an extra day. If you know what I'm saying, like especially after the way we played last season, gives you an extra day to the OC to get comfortable with exactly how TVD responded to a certain kind of plays. You know what I'm saying, and that lane. But that Texas A&M, then you have that Bethune-Cookman, which should be a game where you get your young guys some burn. You know what I mean? Because that, regardless of how bad
Ohio should be the same way.
Yeah, Miami over Ohio should be the same way. I don't want to see a Central Michigan performance from 2 years ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or the same performance from last year. I want to see it handled and taken care of.
Yep. Temple should be the same way.
Yeah, I don't want to see that 20 seconds every time. I want to see you outpacing them and have your cardio right. You know what I mean? But that, bro, but after that bye, it's just Georgia Tech, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Virginia.
We straight through the ACC schedule with no breaks in between. And keeping it a buck, sometimes I think having no breaks is good when you're on a roll. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's a good thing if you're on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you need to take a break, obviously, to heal up or whatever. But when you're on a roll, the worst thing is to have a break. You know what I mean? So. Yeah.
I mean, you could go one way or the other, but again, like, look at it. Like, you're going through that. Hopefully, we don't have, like, if we just have half as many injuries, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to have injuries. This football is going to happen. Yeah. You have half as many injuries, and we respond better, and the offense is clicking. I'll feel better. Like, I just want to see stronger performances. There's going to be some tough losses. That's just in the history of us being in the ACC. That's just what it's been, regardless of our ranking or how good our roster looks, but I just want to see a difference in attitude. That's just what I keep going back to. Like, obviously, I want a winning record in a bowl game. Like, that's my criteria for this season. You know what I mean? I don't want to, same as Donald. That's a great idea. Like, we'll wait till after, like, the week of game one. We'll give you our predictions on what the season might be, our win loss record. But so much is changing. It's kind of impossible to predict a win-loss record right now because the roster might be completely different. Ten guys might leave in the next portal, and we don't know who they are, and 10 guys might come in and completely change the perspective of this team.
Yeah, you definitely can't do a win-loss record now. Definitely not.
You know? It didn't stop me on Twitter though. I did pull out an 8-4, but I was like, this was stupid. Like, why did I just do? Why did I just do that? But like that 8-4 means nothing. Like that's a 0-0 for real because it means nothing.
Yeah, like,
So till game 1 week, you'll know what our actual picks are. But yeah, man, like it's just a traveling too, trying to go to these games don't make sense because it's like the Texas A&M and Bethune-Cookman are both at home. You can't make both home games. You're just gonna stay in Miami the whole time. That's the only way you can do it.
It's Saturday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Saturday and Thursday. I may work from Miami, baby.
You get a hotel. You might make some things happen.
Yeah,
I wish I could do that. That Bethune, yeah. We're gonna talk offline and really get talk on one of the upcoming shows and figure out what games I can really go to. Because season tickets is not something I could do. I could do game to game because I could just never predict it with my job or my schedule. So
that's season tickets, man, but I don't think I'm gonna do that. No.
I think I don't know if it's gonna be cheaper. And y'all let us know in the comments and in the chat if it makes more sense to just do week to week. Because you can always find, you know what I'm saying? You can always find a hookup or something.
I've become good at finding tickets. And people, you know, the fans, man, are real good about, you know, letting people know when they're not going to be there. You know, I got tickets, blah, blah, blah. Some people give them away sometimes, you know, and it's a good look, man. The fans do a great job with that, you know. So
yeah, I got an uncle who has season tickets, and he always offers me, but it's just the time I can't ever like make it match up because of work or whatever. Like I had to end up going somewhere out of state or whatever. But yeah, man, the schedule's terrible. We're definitely, if y'all watching and listening, we're definitely gonna be at spring game. That's the plan,
baby. Yeah.
That's the plan as of right now. Obviously, if anything changes, we'll let y'all know. Yep. But you're going to see, you heard, at the spring game representing. I'm saying you might see us with some merch on us, man. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make some things happen. You know what I mean? Like, we always trying to surprise you, man. Always trying to make some things happen. Hey, man. But, hey, guys, as always, man, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Hit that follow button. Lovely. If you're listening to us, give us a review on Apple Podcast, on Spotify. Yeah, you went all blurry right now. I don't know what's happening. You're 4K tripping, fam. But yeah, man. Hey, we appreciate you, man. And yeah, man, I got nothing else. Joe, you got something for the people?
Man. Did we get a question?
No question today. No question today because we were going to have a guest on. So we were gonna be the Canes questions. Yeah, man. Okay. But hey, man, if y'all got any in the comments, in YouTube comments, on Twitter, hit us up. Hashtag Canes questions. You heard questions. Hit us up on our Instagram that Joe put out.
We got the IG, man. You go to You Heard Podcast. That's the IG. You Heard Podcast.
Type man. So give us a follow.
Comment, give us a follow. Yes, sir.
All right, man. We got nothing else, man. Nice and quick and easy and to the point, man. As always, man, you know we don't mess around. You know, hey, look, I told you real quick, you recommended BMF to me. So on the pod, I'm gonna recommend 1883.
On what?
It's on Paramount Plus.
I gotta get Paramount Plus, man.
You gotta get it for all sports and coming up because eventually they're gonna put all college football on there because that's CBS. You know what I mean? Everything's going to end up being
We don't be on CBS.
No. But I'm saying I watch soccer too, though, so they be on there. So, yeah. Paramount Plus got a, what's that, Top Gun. You know what I'm saying? It's on there. So, they got some good movies. But that 1883, though, is fire. And it's one season, 10 episodes. Nice and easy. It's like a miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. We got nothing else, man. You already know what it is, man. It's the You Heard Podcast. We out of here, guys. And thank you so much to Dono for jumping on the show, man. Y'all already know, man. Check him out on Locked On Canes. Always with Larry Blue and a ton of guests putting out amazing content every single day, man. Thank you so much, guys. We're out. Peace.